Well, good morning. Is that working? Yeah. Good morning. Welcome this morning. If you've got your Bible this morning, could you turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel and chapter 19? 1 Samuel chapter 19. And I'll be continuing on with the series this morning, looking at young David before he became the king of Israel. And this morning, we're just going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 19. And I'm just going to read from verses 18 through to the end of the chapter. Starting at verse 18. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, Behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great well that is in Sekhu. And he asked and said, Where are Samuel and David? And one said, Behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, Is Saul also among the prophets? We thank the Lord for his word. Let's just pray and commit this time to the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this day today. We thank you, Lord, that it's your day. And Lord, that we can come and we can set aside this time to look at your word and to set aside the things of the world and to concentrate on your word this morning. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will work and will illuminate your word to us so that we can see new truths from your word. Lord, new truths that we can apply to our lives. And Lord, we pray that you'll be with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I'd like to speak on the topic of God's power revealed. God's power revealed. The last time we looked at David, we saw King Saul again chasing him and trying to take his life. We saw how through God's hand, his wife Michal helped him to escape when Saul sent his messengers to get him. And back then, that was back in verse 12, and it says that so Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. This is mentioned also here again, where we start up the story, in verse 18. And it says this, so David fled and escaped. So the first point I'd like to see this morning, I've called it the problem, the problem. And it starts off in verse 18, so David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. David here comes to the prophet Samuel, God's chosen prophet. We need to remember that back in David's day, the Bible was not yet written. We need to remember that if someone needed to know what God wanted for them, they sought out the prophet of God, who at this time was Samuel. David wanted to know what God wanted him to do. He needs someone to talk to. He's being chased away from his family, away from his town, and he needs someone to talk to, and so he chose to go and talk to the prophet of God. Now, the content of David and Samuel's discussion isn't recorded here in full. It just gives us this small insight into it. It just says in the last part of that verse, and told him all that Saul had done to him. You know, I can imagine that conversation between David and Samuel. David telling Samuel of the javelin that come flying towards him. David telling Samuel that all he was doing was playing his harp, and all of a sudden this javelin comes flying towards him. I can imagine him telling the story to Samuel of how that the message went out to Jonathan and all Saul's men that they were to kill David. The message went out to all of them. And I can imagine him telling Samuel how that his wife had helped him to escape through a window and down the wall to escape the men that were coming to get him to take him to Saul when it was reported that he was in his bed. And he tells Samuel that he has become even an outlaw in his own town. Saul has put a price on his head, as saying is. He's actually said that he wants him dead. And I can imagine even David telling Samuel of his frustration of maybe being anointed the next king of Israel, and yet all this happening to him. It doesn't tell us exactly what was said here between them, but all it says is that, and told him all that Saul had done to him. He explained it all to Samuel. He just laid it all out. This is what's happening to me. I can imagine David, even at this point, he had even every reason to question why it was taking so long for him to become king. Why was God allowing this to happen? Do you know, a famous preacher once said these words. He said, if we expect answers of peace to our prayers, we must have our ears open to God's word. You know, we've got to remember that in these days, Samuel was the closest example of God's word that they had. Samuel was the prophet of God. Samuel was in communication with God, and he would be able to tell him what God wanted him to do. I can hear Samuel telling David now, God will honour his promise. Just trust him. Just believe him and God will do the rest. So many times in our lives, we believe we are honouring God with the choices we make and what we do, but problems still arise. Testing still comes. Is it because we are doing wrong? Well, not always. Not always. God allows things to happen. God allowed this to happen in David's life. David was doing what was right, but we find him running, having to run, to leave his family, to leave his home. We don't have to look very far in the Bible to see that there was those that suffered for doing what was right. The Apostle Paul was one who knew about suffering. And he said these words in Philippians 1:29. He said, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to also to suffer for his sake. The Apostle Paul knew what it was to suffer for the Lord through no fault of his own. Paul wrote this to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3:12, he said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Peter said this in 1 Peter 2:20, for what glory is it if when ye are buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. This is acceptable with God. God allows those who honour him and love him to suffer. He does allow it. Why? Because he wants to change us into more like him. This was a purpose that for David, we don't know whether he could see it or not, but God was preparing him to be the next king of Israel. There was lessons here he had to learn. There's lessons I've had to learn through my life, through sometimes even suffering. So after David and Samuel had finished talking, Samuel and David go to Naoth in Ramah. It says there that he actually goes with him. It says in the last part of verse 18, and he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. It's as if Samuel says to David, come aside and spend some time aside with the people of God. You got this place at Naoth in Ramah is very significant, and that's what I've called the next point. I've called it the place. The place where they went to had significance. Ramah was located between Gibeon and Geba. Gibeon was on the Mediterranean seaside and Geba was on the Dead Sea side. And it was located between Bethel and Jerusalem. Back in the time of the Judges, Deborah, the prophetess, lived between Ramah and Bethel. In Judges 4, it says this, and Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Labadoth, she judged Israel at that time, and she dwelt under a palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came to her for judgment. This place there at Ramah was also the home of Samuel's parents. Back, if you remember, back to Elkanah and Hannah, back in 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you remember that Hannah couldn't have any children. And Hannah poured her heart out before the Lord when they went up to the temple. If you remember, Eli the priest was there, and Hannah just poured her heart out before the Lord and said to the Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you to serve in the temple. And we know that this was their home they went back to, because in 1 Samuel 1:19 it says, and they rose up early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And then Samuel was their son. Samuel was born to Hannah and Elkanah. This was his hometown, the place where he grew up for the first part of his life before he was taken to the temple to serve with Eli. When Samuel was growing up, we see in 1 Samuel chapter 2 that Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. And so when Eli was taken to the Samuel was taken to the temple to serve with Eli, this place, Ramah, was where Hannah and Elkanah went back to. And then we see later on, after Eli died, Samuel returned to make it his home again. It says in 1 Samuel 7, verse 17, and his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. After Samuel anointed David to be the next king, then he came back here to his home. It says, and so Samuel arose up, this was after he anointed David to be king, and went to Ramah. This place was very significant. Here Samuel had the school of the prophets. He had it was like a Bible college back then. It was like a place that they could come and study and spend time with the Lord away. And this place that Samuel had was like an oasis, if you like. It was like an area that people could come to learn and to praise the Lord. This was also the place, like I said, where the prophets were trained. And the third thing I'd like to see is the plan, and this is what Saul has planned. And we go back to 1 Samuel 19 and verse 19. It says this, and it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. and Saul sent messengers to take David. Saul's plan is not hard to work out. It's exactly the same plan as last time. So we won't spend a lot of time on it, but Saul wanted to take David. He was going to kill David. And so he sends his messengers again to Ramah. Now, you've got to wonder if these were the same men that last time went to take David last time. It doesn't tell us if they were the same messengers or not. I can understand, or I can think, I wonder what these messengers were thinking when they were asked to do this again. You know, you've got to think. Anyway, it doesn't tell us, but I wonder if they were the same men that went to arrest David when he was thought to be sick in the bed, and they found the image in the bed. But anyway, we see that he sends his messengers. Saul is still intent on taking David. The next point I'd like to see, I've called it the power. The power. 1 Samuel 19 and verse 20, it says this, "And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied." The Spirit of God overcame their evil intents to take David and caused them to prophesy as was happening in front of them when they arrived. Matthew Henry had this to say. He said, "When the messengers came into the congregation where David was among the prophets, the Spirit of God came upon them, and they prophesied, that is, they joined with the rest in praising God. Instead of seizing David, they themselves were seized, and thus God secured David. For either they were put into such excitement by the spirit of prophecy that they could not think of anything else, and so forgot what they were there for, and never minded David, or by it they were put, just for the present, into a good frame, so they could not entertain the thought of doing such a bad thing. He put an honour upon the sons of the prophets, and showed how he can, when he pleases, strike an awe into the worst of men by the tokens of his presence in the assemblies of the faithful, and force them to acknowledge that God is with them." Do you know, God changed what these men were there for, didn't he? God just changed them. He changed what they were there to do. God showed his power to David in front of him. David's protection from God was clear to be seen. There was no fighting. There was no violent arrest. There was no coming in to take David away. There was just the prophesying and praising God that was already happening there in the building. We've got to understand that back in these days, the days of the prophets, that this word prophesying, sometimes they were telling of what was going to come. Some commentators said that they could have even been prophesying that the kingdom would be reigned and ruled by David, by this man who was standing there with them. It doesn't tell us here exactly. But there was quite a time there where they were praising and honouring the Lord. The word prophesy also means to sing or to praise God. And so we see here that the first lot of messengers arrive, and they are distracted by the meeting and by the praising of the Lord, and so they praise the Lord. And it says there in verse 21, "And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also." So it seems there become quite a gathering of messengers at the meeting here. Three lots of messengers that Saul had sent, all joining in to praise the Lord, to praise God. This, I believe, is a great showing of God's power to David. This would have encouraged David, I believe. And so we see that in the next verse, Saul himself decides to go to Ramah. You know, that saying, I wouldn't be surprised if Saul said, well, if you need a job done, you're going to have to go and do it yourself, isn't it? I can sort of even hear him saying that. And so he thinks that he'll go and just take David to Ramah. And we read in verse 22, then he also went to Ramah and came to a great well that is in Sekhu. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. You know, King Saul, he didn't even make it to the place. He was on the road and he was overcome by the Spirit of God, and he too began to prophesy. God took away his evil motives and changed them into praise for him. This evil king who was trying to do away with David, the next king that God had chosen, had his will changed. God's power brought his wicked desire to naught. God is all-powerful. God is all-powerful, and he can control this situation. And he was, I believe, showing to David that he was in control. He was showing him his power, showing him how great he was and how his support for David was still there, even in the trial that he was in. And we read on in verse 24, and it says, and he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. It says here, he took off his clothes. Now, back in those days, when I read, there's a few different words that are used for the word naked here. And this one was if they took off all their outer clothes back to their undergarments, they were considered naked. And that's what it was considered here. His royal robes were thrown to one side. His crown was removed. God reduced him back to a bare man laying on the ground for a whole day and a night before God. The king of Israel, this great king, laying on the ground. No robes on him. No commanding of his men to take David. Just prophesying and praising God for all those to see. You know, this point led me to think, you know, we can hide behind our clothes and our speech sometimes. We can dress in our best clothing. We can dress up and put on a suit, and we can stand and but you know, to God, there's nothing that really covers to God. We've got to remember what the Lord said to Samuel when he was looking for a king to replace King Saul. And I think this verse tells us how God sees us. It says in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God looks at our hearts. God looks at us as we are. There's no covering that we can cover to cover our hearts from God. He sees all. He sees all. A commentator called F.B. Meyer said this. He said, before Saul even reached the place, he was overcome And he lay on the ground in a trance that lasted all that day and night. Such scenes were not uncommon in the great revival days of Wesley and Jonathan Edwards. But there was a vast gulf separating Saul from David in this matter. Between David and the prophetic spirit, there was a real affinity. In purity and simplicity, David had yielded himself to God. Saul, on the other hand, was another man for the time, but not a new man. The Spirit was on him, but not in him. He had gifts, but not grace. I thought it was a great description of the difference between David and Saul here. Saul was overcome by the Spirit. Now, this had happened to Saul before. Turn back with me to 1 Samuel and chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. I just want us to see this for a moment. This is not the first time that this had happened to King Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 10. I'll just read verse 1 to start with. And it says, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head." This is talking about King Saul. "And kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" So this was the anointing of King Saul. Skip down with me to verse 8. And it says this. This is Samuel speaking to King Saul. And he says, "And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal. And behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of the prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. This had happened to Saul before. But we see that verse that God had given him another heart. I thought it was interesting there. God didn't have a new heart. He didn't have a changed heart. God gave him another heart for this time. This happened to Saul back at his anointing. Saul's relationship with God, I believe, had no foundation. He regarded God. The Spirit of God was on him and not in him. The only heart that God can indwell is a believing heart, a heart that believes God. Romans 10 and verse 9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you know, God is in control. God allowed David to be tested, but then God revealed himself to him. God showed his power to David. He showed his power to change men from evil to good. But God leaves the choosing up to us. Saul didn't stay a changed man. Saul was only changed for that period of time. This was God's power shown to David, I believe. But God leaves the choosing of our heart up to us. Because it says that if thou will confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's an individual decision. No one can make it for you. Every one of us have got to come to that decision ourselves. We've got to come to the point where we see we are sinners before God. And we need our hearts to be transformed. We need our hearts to be washed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and cleansed from our sin before He can change us from men, from evil, to people that are good. God shows us his power now through salvation. Through saving a sinner like me, transforming a sinful heart like mine into a heart that can have sweet fellowship with him. Romans 1:16 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek." The power of God is clear to see today in salvation. God changing lives, that's the power we see today. The good news that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know, if you want to have the power of God in your life, you first need to be saved. Every one of us have got to come to that point in our lives where we choose whether we're going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. It's the greatest decision that I've made in my life. The greatest decision. Just as Saul's sin against David separated them from talking and their fellowship together, our sin separates us from God. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross, being the sinless Son of God. His death on the cross of Calvary paid the price for our sin. His sinless blood was shed for us. His death on the cross is what we needed for our freedom, for our atonement. But it is up to us to believe. It's up to everyone here to make that decision. Doesn't matter whether you're young or old. Doesn't matter whether you've been in church for 5 minutes or 50 years. Everyone has to make that decision for themselves. It is up to us to believe, to accept the free gift offered by the Lord Jesus Christ to each and every one. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 20, John wrote these words. He said, and he's talking about the words of the Gospel of John. He said, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." And Romans 10 and verse 9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." This is the power of God that is available to anyone today. If they will believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the lessons from your word that we can learn. And Lord, we know that, Lord, you allowed these times in David's life to bring him closer to you, to help him to trust you more. Lord, we pray that if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you as Saviour, they will come to know you as Saviour, to believe and, Lord, to accept that free gift that you have offered. Lord, you have paid the price for our sins, and we thank you, Lord. We pray that each and every one here would make sure that they know you as Saviour this morning. We thank you for this time in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.